Hi, welcome back to another episode of You the Mother podcast by Abby Williams, a space dedicated to supporting, empowering, and connecting all parents in all seasons of parenthood. You can find more supportive content over on Instagram and TikTok at You the Mother, and be sure to check out youthemother.com, where you can reach out to work with me one-on-one or sign up for my group coaching. In today's episode, I'm welcoming on Julie Cole. Julie is a recovered lawyer, mom of six, and the co-founder of Mabel's Labels. She is an award-winning entrepreneur, best-selling author, and sought-after speaker. Julie is no stranger to the media, having appeared on NBC's The Today Show, HLN's Raising America, Breakfast Television, The Marilyn Dennis Show, CP24, among many others. Her articles have appeared in Huffington Post, Today's Parent, The Globe and Mail, Profit Magazine, Working Mother Magazine, and numerous websites. When she's not juggling her busy family and professional life, Julie is an engaged community member serving on boards and volunteering. She is passionate about women's issues, mentoring young entrepreneurs, and social justice. In today's episode, we talk all about managing business and babies. Julie helps us make perspective shifts around productivity, entrepreneurship, and more. You can go give Julie a follow over on Instagram at Julie Cole Inc. and at Mabel's Labels. You can also find her on TikTok and Facebook at Mabel's Labels, and you can find her on mabelslabels.com. I hope that you enjoy today's episode, and if you do, please be sure to leave a 5-star rating and review. Your support here on the podcast always means the world to me, and I so appreciate you being here. So let's get started in supporting you, the mother. Hi, Julie. Welcome to You, the Mother podcast. I am so excited that you are here joining me. We connected at Mom 2.0 last year. I'm excited to see you there again this year and to have this conversation around motherhood and being in a profession, how to juggle both. So thank you for joining me. But first, tell my listeners a little bit about yourself.
Sure. Thanks, Abby. I'm so happy to be here. And yes, I'm very much looking forward to Mom 2.0 again. Always a good time and valuable connections. So yeah, I'm Julie Cole. I am the co-founder of Mabel's Labels, which is a very loved and trusted children's brand. We actually are having our 20th anniversary or 20th birthday.
That's amazing.
I know, in March, like this month. So it is, it's really crazy to think 20 years ago that there we were making labels in the basement, and now, you know, there's been a lot of growth. I'm also a parenting author. I just wrote a book that hit bestseller status in May, which was exciting. It's called Like a Mother, Birthing Businesses, Babies, and a Life Beyond Labels. And it's full of parenting hacks and life hacks and business hacks and all that good stuff. Kind of tells the story. I do a lot of media, a lot of speaking, and I have six kids. So it's a fun, busy life.
You're outnumbered more than I am, because I have four over here, and I'm like, four is too many. Six is a lot too. Yeah, I'm like, you get to these big numbers, and you're just like,
honestly, once one
who's
more.
Who's gonna run all these kids to all these activities? And I need to clone myself. And
I know it is a bit like that, but I have to say, for your listeners who have young ones, like, you know, people always say, "Oh, older kids, bigger problems." It's way easier.
Yeah,
like this is way easier. My youngest is 13 now, and I mean, I had my fifth when my oldest was six. Like, those were busy, like, you know, making labels till 2 a.m. and get back with kids. You know the drill. So I'm in a pretty sweet spot. I don't mind the teens. I like the teens.
I think teens are underrated. Like, they get a really bad rap. And I love them.
Agreed. There's a lot of generalizations made about teens and tweens, and I feel it's very unwarranted.
I think so, too. That's the population of people that I work with clinically. Okay. And I love my teenagers. There's so many clinicians that are like, I don't want to work with teenage girls, especially.
Right. And you're like, give them to me.
I love them.
I love it. You're the Pied Piper of teen and tween girls. I love it.
I love them. So I agree, though. I think those younger years are just like physically grueling.
Right.
And there's might be like more mental stuff going on, like on the other side, but once like you get past some of that sleep deprivation and you become more of a real human again, it does get a little bit easier.
Yeah, I mean, my coffee's always hot, right? Never happened.
Yeah. So let's talk about how motherhood changed your life professionally.
Right. Well, it had a huge impact. So actually, it's the reason Mabel's Label started, because of, you know, being a mother. So, you know, like any business, you got to know your why, right? And for me, there were two. There were two whys. One was that there literally was a product missing from the market. Like, you know, me and my co-founders, we had young kids, and people were using masking tape and permanent marker to label their kids' stuff. We're like, there's got to be something good out there. And there really wasn't. So, you know, like good mama entrepreneurs, we, you know, did a lot of research and testing. We wanted to fill a gap in the marketplace. But the second why, and this is where the motherhood comes in, is that at that time, my eldest child had just turned 3 and received an autism diagnosis. And I knew that I wanted to really be able to get him to his programs, set up an incredible program in my basement, have therapists coming. I knew that I wanted to be able to advocate for him. I had a lot of learning to do, right? So that I could be the best mom to this boy. And he also actually already had 2 younger siblings, so it was already a busy household. And I just thought the traditional workforce would no longer suit me. I was a lawyer. I'm a recovered lawyer, 12-step program. And I just didn't think that was going to suit, you know, being a special needs mom, really. Yeah. And so at that point, I went to my co-founders and said, hey, look, we've got this bang up idea. I'm dealing with this. I know I want to work, but I need a little more flexibility so that I can be there for my kiddo. And we were like, yep, let's go. And we haven't looked back.
Yeah. So what is some things that you would share with other people who might be like in a similar situation, you know, who want to make a pivot in their career? And I think motherhood does that to a lot of us.
Sure does.
I'm like going to raise my hand and be like, I'm right there. Where, you know, maybe you were like so gung-ho on this career path and then you become a mother and you leave the workplace and you want to stay home for some time. Maybe you're like, now my passions are different. How do we kind of normalize that for ourselves? Because, you know, I kind of like look back at, and I don't know if you have like the same kind of thing with leaving being a lawyer, but when I was a young mom, so I was like getting all my education with little people underfoot.
Right.
And so it was like survival mode for years, getting through little people and your education. And then I get my licensure. You're going to be a therapist now. And then I had baby number 3 and my girls are 15 months apart. So like back to back, I was like, I can't do it. I can't do it. So I was like, I have to leave. And I felt like I had to over explain myself to people, like, oh, it's just for a little bit, like things are just busy. And I didn't know like if I was ever gonna go back. I did go back, but like it took me a long time. It's very different than it was back then.
Right.
And now I've like integrated other stuff that I'm doing that maybe I'm more passionate about. But, you know, I think that, like, did you kind of go through some of these things of having to explain, like, oh, I'm leaving.
Oh, believe me. I mean,
like,
people
thought,
yeah, like, honestly, and, you know, my co-founders, one is my sister and another, like, we're all family. We're all women from the same family. And, you know, it was my grandpa. I remember my grandpa, you know, he was, you know, an old Irish immigrant and, you know, you have to be making, all he ever wanted us to do was have good, stable jobs, right? With that pension. And, you know, here we were, you know, had tons of education, you know, one's a teacher, one's a financial planner, I'm the lawyer. Like we all have these careers. And he was just like, you're doing what?
You're throwing your life away.
Yeah. So people thought we were crazy, but then it was really fun. You know, when we started, you know, experiencing success and, you know, we moved into our new building, which is like, you know, a 15,000 square foot facility in our production facility. We have, you know, 50 full-time employees. And, you know, then grandpa was like, oh, you girls, you're amazing.
Now I'm proud of you. But when it was uncertain,
it was. And it doesn't help because, of course, you're uncertain yourself. And I will say that was one of the benefits of having co-founders was that when you're like, and what I is this crazy what I'm doing? Is this? And then, you know, you have other people to be like, no, no, we're fine. We're fine. And then when they're feeling crazy, you're normalizing it, you know? Yeah. So it really was great to have it. I do agree. So many women are doing, and through COVID as well, women working mm-hmm. the outside hustles and really right. like, you know, turning things, like women are starting small businesses at like 10 times the rate of men. And you're right. Motherhood does do that. A couple of things I would say about it is that two things really, if you're thinking about making this pivot, don't romanticize it. You know, like I was, you know, right. making labels in a basement till 2 a.m., then getting up at 6 a.m., you know, raising three babies, pregnant with my fourth. And, yeah. you know, and people are like, but look at you, you know, you've got a book deal, you do, you know, big public speaking events, you know, all this. And I'm like, dudes, I've been in line for like 20 years and, you know, don't romanticize it, because really what it looks like is making labels in a basement till 2 a.m. It's yeah. not... It's not putting the kids to bed, grabbing a glass of wine and binging on Netflix with your spouse, or, you know, there's none of that. It doesn't look like being able to go on holidays because, you know what, you just gave up your lawyer's salary to make labels in a basement. So really just, I do feel like entrepreneurship gets romanticized.
Yeah,
so,
I agree.
You know, I think you need to know that. Go in with your eyes wide open. And the other thing too is about managing your own expectations and managing if you have a spouse or children. Like, they need to know what it really is going to look like you being in a basement, media labels too, not being able to do the things that, you know, you're going to take every spare moment and you're going to be working on this baby, right? So when you're not with your own babies, this will be like, Mabel's my seventh. Like, I talk about her like she's a real live human, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
She's my girl. Like, she's turning 20 next month. I'm all beclamped. Like, so I think, you know, you really do have to manage everyone's expectations. And like a little example of that, and I do love the flexibility that, mm-hmm. And I needed the flexibility, but here's the other thing. Flexibility doesn't get your work done for you. So right. I certainly could go on the, you know, kindergarten trip to the apple orchard and that sort of thing, but I was hanging over my laptop at yeah. midnight to make up for that. So, and you know, there was flexibility for my kids, and I would just, again, it's about managing those expectations. So say I would go to watch one of them play ice hockey. They all play ice hockey here. So I go in the arena and I'm like, look, I'm going to have to look at my phone twice. I have to take one phone call and I have to return one email.
Yeah.
And then, so if you look up at the stands and I'm on my phone, I'm doing those two things. So they know, and I yeah. stick to it. And they also know that if I couldn't do those two things, I'd probably be working downtown, you know, at a law firm and not get home till 7 p.m. and not go to hockey at all. So, you know, it's about just communicating with your family and making sure everyone knows what it's going to look like. And, you know, I found it worked great with the kids, and mm-hmm. they take a lot of pride in what I do.
Yeah. No, I think that that's like really important, of the not romanticizing entrepreneurship, because it's like grind.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
It is a grind, it's a you know, especially in the beginning. In the beginning, yes. when you're building it, like, it is like you're laying brick by brick that building. Wow.
And it's scary too, because in those early stages, you don't even know. Like, I know when we started Mabel's Labels, I suddenly became so empathetic. Like, I'd drive by a store that was closed down and I'd be like, oh, that poor person who, yeah. like, you just know the sweat equity that goes in, yeah. right?
Right.
And yeah, I just, and I really felt it through COVID, seeing, you know, I saw a lot of small businesses close down through COVID, mm-hmm. right? And
right.
just my heart broke every time, because you know, because you've experienced it.
And it, because it is like one of your babies.
Yeah.
And so that's, it's a loss, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, for sure.
I totally agree. So I love like what you were saying of making sure that you communicate to your family, you know, what the expectations are, that this isn't like a typical 9-to-5 job and then I clock out and I come home and now I'm a present mom, you know, I'm still going to be circling back and making labels till 2 a.m. I'm going to be checking emails at weird times. How do we, I guess, create boundaries for ourselves, but be able to grow, right? Because like, I think like that's where things can get really blurry of, it's such a grind. I got to get this up and running, but I do need to take care of myself, my family, my husband, you know, maybe some friendships if I have
right.
time for that during these yeah. early years.
Yeah.
You know, are there ways to create some boundaries around that?
I think there are, and I think we have to do what works for us. I often talk about this notion of having it all, and it seems to be, you know, something that is quite gender specific towards women. People don't ask men if they have it all, and they don't because they assume that there's a woman taking care of all of the things. So, you know, what does that having it all mean, and what does it look like, right? And I think what we need to do is not let other people project what having it all means to them. For me, I do have it all. I wanted 6 kids. I wanted to make labels in the basement. Is that having it all for you, Abby? Probably not. Is that having it all for, you know, but having it all to me is having what you want. And so I think the first thing is to be the boss of your own life and know what you want. And then create boundaries around that, not what other people are telling you. I've had people for so long saying, oh, Julie, you need more me time. I'm like, don't tell me what I need, or, you know, what do you do for self-care? I'm like, you know what? To me, self-care is going to the hockey rink and not chasing after a toddler. It's being able to watch my own kid play. That to me is better than a manicure any day. So, you know, we have to know, like, self-care looks different to everyone. Boundaries look different to everyone. Take some time to think what yours are. And then, you know, unashamedly, like, just live by them. Don't, like, I literally gave up caring what people think. And I gave up mom guilt about 4 kids ago. It just, it's not helpful. And you know what? If, I think the mom guilt thing, like, that's a good little radar. If you start feeling a little twinge of that, then, you know, just make a few changes. Sometimes, like, oh, I bet I work too much, or I'm not at work enough. So, you know what? Make a shift. Do little things that can help, you know, with those boundaries. But also, and here's the thing, and you know, because you're a mom of many as well, like, the kids are fine. Like,
the kids are fine.
The kids are fine. Like, please, like, just, they're fine. And you know what? And I'm in beast mode here at work, getting the labels at the door, and it's busy, and it's like, so what if we order pizza 3 nights a week? So what if they're watching?
Who cares?
So what if you bring a new homeborn baby home and the kids have cereal for dinner and watch too much TV or on YouTube too much?
Yeah.
Who cares? Just get by, you know, like, that you're not in your best place. You're not your best. You're not going to be there forever. So forgive yourself and move on. Like, I just don't get people beating themselves up over that. Like, you know, just forgive yourself.
There's definitely, like, good mom guilt and bad mom guilt that, like, you're kind of talking about, right? And, like, the good mom guilt is like, I want to spend more time with my kids and I'm not. And so you, like, lean into that, make some tweaks.
Yeah,
and some changes,
exactly. Like, you
do
have
it.
Some gut feelings, then work with it, but don't overdo it.
Right. And then that bad mom guilt that is like, so silly. Just tell that stuff to kick rocks.
Totally. And you know what? Like, it's just not proactive. Like, if I do something, if I make a mistake with my kids, like, you know, I just apologize. I learn from it and I move on. Like, I don't care. I don't stew at night. I don't turn and toss and turn in my sleep about, like, and you know what, honestly, I thought it's really good role modeling, because then I feel like there's no shame in making mistakes.
Right.
My kids make mistakes.
Right.
They don't lie to me. They don't hide it from me. They're like, oh, mom, you're not going to believe what I did. Oh, I feel crummy. It's like, oh, dude, what'd you learn from it? That's it.
And maybe making, like, that perspective shift of all the benefits to your messy moments. I'm modeling a good apology. I'm modeling what it looks like not to live with shame. You know, I'm modeling what it means to ask for help and lean into my village. You know,
and also being
with
able
other
to
people that is
absolutely
not mom. Like, I think that's important.
I love it. And it's also just being able to see the humor in life and not taking yourself too seriously, right?
Yeah.
Like, I do a blog post every year for years at the end of the year, and my kids all tell me what my biggest mom fails were for the year. And then they're hysterical, right? Like, you know, like, the time I was supposed to pick up my daughter from her school trip somewhere and I go to the airport and I got the AM and PM mixed up, so I didn't turn up. Like, you know, these things happen. Like, we have to laugh at ourselves, right?
Yeah. We had one of those moments, not as severe, but a couple of weeks ago, where my daughter came home and it was like spirit week. Two of my kids are, like, at the elementary school. Two of them are at the preschool. So I've got like 2 kids in 2 different schools. And, like, the spirit week at the big kids' school was, like, you gotta wear something different on different days. But my kindergartner also had to bring stuff on different days. And then my younger ones, it was both of their birthdays that week. So there was, like, one day that I had, like, 4 kids
doing
4 different things. And at the end of the day, my kindergartner came. She's like, I forgot to bring my stuffed animal. Like, I was so bummed out. You know, she was, like, all mad at me that I forgot her stuffed animal.
Right.
And I'm like, listen, today I had to make sure Oliver was wearing this and you were wearing that. I had to send in a book for Fitz's birthday and goodie bags for Josie's birthday and this for that. And she's like, yeah, that's a lot.
It is a lot. you know what, Abby?
I'm sorry that we forgot one thing, but this was my to-do list. And like, I'm just.
And you know what, kiddo? That's your job, kiddo. Like, honestly, I'm going to tell you, like, with my kids, like, if you forget your stuffy, that's on you.
I said that to her this morning. She was like, we keep forgetting Spirit Day is every Friday. And I never wear Spirit Day. And I'm like, well, that's on you. Know that it's every Friday. So.
Yeah, and I do think that is something I think with so many kids that you do, like, you do have to raise them to be independent. And I have to be highly productive. You have to be highly productive. So, like, you know, one of my productivity tips is, like, saying to my kids, right? Like, if they forget their lunch, I don't bring it to them.
Yeah. If they forget their lunch.
They can find a sibling with a granola bar. Nobody's starving. Nobody's had scurvy. Like, they're fine. And you know what, Abby? They only forget it once.
Yeah.
So if they forget their gym clothes, they have to sit out that day. If they forget their assignment, maybe they get a B instead of an A. Like, I need to get things done. I can't be running around after six kids. And it does make them more independent. And it's not punishment. It's just a natural consequence.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not mean. They don't think I'm mean. That's just, that's what happens. So I think, you know, I would say, like, one of the things that does help me be productive is honoring my own time and making other people, including the children, honor and value my time.
And it helps.
Oh,
it definitely makes a shift in your home when, like, everybody knows kind of what the expectations are.
Right? Like, I laugh. Like, you know how the school secretary always has a table beside them at the school, and, like, the parents drop off the forgotten things and the lunches and whatever. I call it the enable table.
Yeah.
And I don't think it should be there.
Yeah. I like that. What are some of your other productivity tips for busy moms?
I do believe very much in getting help.
I am not
afraid. Like, if somebody says, if I'm having people, I do a lot of entertaining, and, you know, people be like, what can I bring? I tell them. Like, I don't say, oh, no, nothing. It's fine. I got it. I'm like, oh, if you could bring a charcuterie board, that'd be great. Oh, you bring a fruit bowl? Perfect. And, you know, I have no problem. I got a nanny when my fifth kid was 1 year old, and that was three kids too late. You get the help, get somebody to clean your house. You know what? I get it's expensive, you know, but maybe feed your kids more craft dinner and pay for the cleaner. It's cheaper than marriage therapy. It'll save a lot of fights. You know, just once every 2 weeks, get those toilets and those floors done. And then everybody has an easier job maintaining it. So definitely getting help. And I do, you know, I do believe in turning off notifications. You know, if you're working a project, don't get sucked into the social, take an hour off, turn off those ding, ding, dings. I do the touch it once principle with email. If I read it, I deal with it. If I'm not going to deal with it, I don't read it, because you know what you do? You end up going back to it five times, reading it five times. And then, and I do eat the frog, honestly. Like, the thing that you want to do least, do that first thing in the day. Otherwise it just hangs over you. And you know what? Maybe that's your workout. Maybe that's reading with your kid. Maybe you hate reading with your kids. It's okay. It's okay. You know, I don't like playing with my kids. If they were like, can we play? I'm like, go find a sibling. It's why I had them.
There's a lot of them. Somebody is available.
Find a brother. So whatever your thing is that you are kind of dreading. And you know what? For me, it was a little bit when I was writing the book. I didn't enjoy the process as much as I thought I would.
Yeah.
Kind of funny.
That's fair.
I thought, because I can write, I thought it, but it was just, it had
a different process though.
It is.
Sitting down and, like, writing for fun or like a blog or
exactly.
It's so different.
I mean, it's daunting when there's going to be so many words. And it, you know what it felt like, Abby? It felt like, you know, when you're at university and, like, you always, no matter what you're doing, you always know that there's assignments or things that you should be studying. So you meet out with your friends having a great time, but you're like, ugh, I should work on that paper. It was like that. No matter what I did, this book was there. Like, just, I should be writing. So it kind of haunted me like that. So if anybody's thinking about writing,
please worth this.
Yeah, please, seriously. Oh, when I sent it off to editing, I was like, I had that feeling of walking out of that last law school exam. Like,
finish line.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Of course, then, you know, all the work's in the edits, but whatever.
Yeah, I know. But now it's a bestseller and it's an amazing accomplishment. Yeah.
Yeah, it feels great. And you know what, for me, Abby, it really was that thing. It was almost like my side hustle because with COVID, you know, I usually travel a lot to speak and attend conferences and yada yada. But with COVID, I wasn't traveling. So I found I had a little pocket of time. And I thought, if I don't do this book, it's been on my to-do list for a while. I thought, if I don't do it now, I don't know when I'm going to do it. So I also, you know, used that time quite productively.
Yeah, yeah. Julie, what's your take on self-care?
So I do think, I think self-care looks different to everyone. Right. And I think, you know, I think you do. I mean, I mentioned just a little while ago about how, you know, people say, Julie, you need me time. And, you know, the traditional me time is, you know, maybe having a coffee and flipping through a magazine or doing those sorts of things. Those to me aren't, they don't provide me with the things they provide other people. Somebody once bought me a massage and I was lying on the table for the whole hour thinking about all the things I could have been getting done. But you know what? If you need the massage, you get the massage. If you need the traditional me time, you do it. I would suggest, though, don't start a business and have six children, maybe two, and have a 9-to-5 job or something. But if you do, you know, take what you need and make your life decisions based on that. You know,
girl, like, I so agree with that, though. Honestly, I'm like the same with like my getting my nails done. Like I love having my nails done, but getting my nails done is not.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh.
I sit there panicked so that whole
I know. Oh my gosh. I know. That's why my nails.
Mine are like half on and off right now. It's really pretty.
Yeah. I mean, I try to get them done. Like usually like back to school, I'm doing a lot of talking about Mabel's Labels on TV. So I'm like, and so my hands are on TV a lot. And then I'm like, okay, I'm getting my nails done for this. This is work. But yeah, so I think it does look different to everyone. And that's okay. You know, that's okay. And,
but you're right. It might not be for these moms that have a lot of kids.
Right. And again, like there's no right number of kids or wrong number of kids, but you do need to think about your capacity. You need to think about your perspective. Like, you know, people, I'm a very chill person. Like, I don't care if my house is messy. I'm not here to impress anyone about my beautiful meals or my, you know, I'm not going to, I wash bed sheets when there's a reason somebody's puked or peed on them. Like, I don't have time to be washing sheets every, you know, few nights just because it's Wednesday, you know, and of course, you know, my kids are teenagers. So now they wash their own sheets and do their own laundry and that sort of thing, which is again, very helpful. Again, raise them to be independent. Even if you have just two, you know, get them doing that stuff from a young age because they're valuable life lessons and they allow you time to do what you need to get done as well.
But I say like that's one of my like self-care because my kids are kind of on the younger end.
Yeah.
Is staying on top of laundry. Like to me, that's self-care because I have a family of six. And if I skip a day of not doing laundry and that laundry pile is so big, I'm overwhelmed.
Yeah, no, I agree. We wear laundry every day. I actually have two washing machines and two dryers.
Yeah.
You know, one on the main floor for quick loads and then one downstairs for the big loads. Now I have three kids away at university and I only have three kids at home and they do their own laundry. So it's gotten very easy, but definitely it was. And you know what? That's something you might want to get. If you do get a cleaner, you know, if you can manage it, getting somebody to come in and help with laundry is huge. Now that was something my nanny took a lot of care for because once the kids were in school, you know, she had a little extra time. Then she was able to get her driver's license and help with some of the running around. Cause that's a busy time too. When you're like, I had six kids in ice hockey and then the dance and then the music lessons and then the after school basketball, blah, blah. You know, that's a really, you go from a bunch of babies to a bunch of busy kids.
Busy.
Yeah. And dirty, hungry. Oh my God. The food. And that's another productivity tip for sure. A lot of meal planning. Like we have it's up that I never wanted the what's for dinner. It's like, look at the board, you know, and then you show up. Yeah, you gotta have the board, right? And then you know on your busiest nights, like Wednesday was our busy, busy night. So guess what?
That's frozen pizza every time.
That's frozen. That's breakfast for dinner. That's, you know, know your busy nights and plan for it, right? Yeah. So it's just a little thing, little things like meal planning can save you a lot of grief. Because you know what it is? It's not the making of the dinner. It's thinking about what to make.
Yep. Yep. Me and my husband sit down together every weekend and like meal plan together because it's not going to be all my load.
When I
share this load with me.
For sure. When we had all the kids at home, I had a month list and it never changed. And there was a different meal. Like it was, there was like a chicken every month, a rice dish every week. And it just, it was awesome. And, you know, sat down with the kids and said, and also get them cooking. They can do things too. Right.
From
a young age, they can chop things. They can, for sure.
Raise them to be independent. That is a really good productivity tip.
Totally. Yeah.
Yep. Julie, thank you so much for having this conversation with me. I know being in entrepreneurship is a whole beast in itself. Raising lots of kids is a whole thing, and trying to balance, you know, thank you for providing some of these practical tips and just making it so real, because I do think that it gets romanticized and just like, you can have it all. But like, I loved your reframe of you can't have it all, but like, it needs to be your all and not Linda down the street's all.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? And so just like really being, you know, intentional and in tune with yourself. I just love that. Julie, tell my listeners where they can find you, where they can find Mabel's Labels, where they can find your book.
Okay. Well, the book can be just Amazon, Barnes & Noble, anywhere. Just hop online and grab a copy of Like a Mother. And of course, mableslabels.com. And we're having, we're having a huge birthday sale all of March. So that's important to know. And then anything about me is mableslabels.com/Julie Cole. And of course, you know, we're on Instagram, TikTok, we're in all the places. Easy to find us.
Perfect. I'll be linking all of those in the description of this podcast. Julie, thank you again for joining me and helping me support you, the mother.
Thank you so much, Abby.